Do note that the views expressed in Thinking It Through do not necessarily represent the views of Good News Community Radio. The views expressed in Thinking It Through are meant to serve as a challenge to your beliefs, whatever they may be, and to see how the Christian worldview stands in light of other worldviews.
Welcome back to Thinking It Through, and we are ending this week with the continuation of a relevant study of the book of Daniel as apocalyptic literature, the kind of literary genre that surfaces when the people of God, the faith community, face trials and tribulation at the hands of secular kingdoms and forces. It is a revelation of the ultimate triumph of God's kingdom over all the kingdoms of men. In spite of the fierceness of the world's empires, they will be subdued by the awesome power of God's reign over the hearts of men. Here's Dr. Gregory Donation, resident minister at Juvenati Mission, in part 10 of Facing the Furnace.
Hi folks, welcome to another study, a fireside chat around the book of Daniel. We've already covered quite a lot of ground in this book, and I'm so happy that you've joined us. Last time we saw and looked at the dream that Daniel had in chapter 7. We explained a little bit of the meaning of those animals that appeared in the dream, and we saw how that they were linked directly to the vision that Nebuchadnezzar had. Nebuchadnezzar's vision was looking at world history from a secular perspective, from the perspective of a pagan civilization. Daniel's dream, on the other hand, is looking at the same historical unfolding, the sequence of events, but this time from the perspective of the kingdom of God, from the perspective of the believers. And when we look at how Daniel interprets this dream in chapter 7, verse 15, we will see what its purpose was, to ultimately show that, yes, it appears as if the kingdoms of this world are ranting and raging, and that they are powerful and they seem to be so strong and oppressive that the Church of Jesus Christ or the faith community has no hope or any chance at all. But when you look at what happens actually really behind the scenes, then God is the one who steers all these events and is totally in control of human history, even though it may appear to the unbelievers as if God doesn't exist, he's not there, and he's lost control even if he was there. Now in verse 15 in Daniel 7 we read, I, Daniel, was troubled in spirit, and the visions that passed through my mind disturbed me. I approached one of those standing there and asked him the meaning of all this. So he told me and gave me the interpretation of these things. The four great beasts are four kings that will rise from the earth. That means, sequentially, one world empire after the other. But the holy people of the Most High, that's the faith community, the Jewish believers in the Old Testament, but the Church of Jesus in the New Testament, they will receive the kingdom and will possess it forever. Yes, forever and ever. So what the enemy does is he creates the illusion, and it can be a very convincing experience, that the powers of darkness controlling the kingdoms of this world are in charge and they reign. But here we are told that it only appears to be like that. Ultimately, God will triumph. The holy people of the Most High will receive the kingdom and will possess it forever. Daniel says he wanted to know the meaning of the fourth beast in verse 19. Which was different from all the others and most terrifying. You see, all the other beasts were actually animals that you could actually relate to because they are known to us. A lion, a bear, a leopard. These are animals that we know. But the fourth animal was almost like a supernatural animal. It was actually a dragon. And we know who the dragon is. We encounter that dragon very, very definitively in the book of Revelation. You will see in Revelation chapter 13, verse 7, the dragon and his cohorts were given power to wage war against the saints. It says it in so many words. And to conquer them. And it was given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation. Now, Daniel says, I want to know the meaning of the fourth beast, which was different from all the others and most terrifying, with its iron teeth and bronze claws. Now, we don't know an animal like that. This is the beast that crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. It was very forceful, very terrifying. It's a powerful dictatorship. He says, I also wanted to know about the 10 horns on its head and about the other horn that came up, before which 3 of them fell. The horn that looked more imposing than the others and that had eyes and a mouth that spoke boastfully. Daniel said as he watched, this horn was waging war against the holy people. Can you see? It's exactly what we read in Revelation chapter 13, verse 7. There it says it was given power to wage war against the saints. And here the same idea surfaces, that there is a war, there is an attack and a fighting against the people of God. This horn was waging war against the holy people and defeating them. We see also in Revelation 13 verse 7 says it was given power to wage war against the saints and to conquer them. We should not be surprised at that. Everything is still going exactly according to God's plan. If we look around us today in the world in which we're living, it does appear as if unbelief, paganism, heathendom, and all secularism and waywardness is actually surfacing, rising up, and erasing all godly culture and morality. It looks as if the church is being defeated, as if it's going down. And it's beset by so many scandals and sins and things that are happening today because of people who don't know how to live the godly Christian life. But it's all still going according to plan. Verse 22 of Daniel 7 says, the Ancient of Days came, the Ancient of Days came, and pronounced judgment in favor of the holy people of the Most High. And the time came when they possess the kingdom. So that means at the end, God is going to allow these nations to go their own way. We read that in Acts, the book of Acts, for example. But ultimately, God will rein everything in. He will draw the line and say, so far and no further, and then his kingdom will break through and it will prevail. Verse 23, Daniel says, this angel gave me this explanation. The fourth beast is a fourth kingdom that will appear on earth. It will be different from all the other kingdoms and will devour the whole earth, trampling it down and crushing it. The 10 horns are 10 kings who will come from this kingdom. After them, another king will arise, different from the earlier ones. He will subdue 3 kings. He will speak against the Most High and oppress his holy people and try to change the set times and the laws. See, can you see the cultural shift? Can you see the moving away from divinely ordained society principles? Can you see that? He will change the set times and the laws. Previously, for example, you would have found that there were laws preventing people from killing their own children. These were anti-abortion laws or pro-life laws. Now that was turned on its head, and suddenly it became legal for a mother to kill her child through disinformation, through hoodwinking them, deceiving them, fake news, all that goes with it, the lies that are spread. Take the issue of gender confusion, for example. You would find previously it was very well known what a woman is and what a man is, and it was supported by scientific biology. A man is a XY chromosome and a woman is a XX chromosome. And laws were promulgated to support and endorse that. Now you find that, for example, a certain school in the United Kingdom has told the pupils there are 64 genders. Where did they get this from? Can you see that suddenly that which was scientific, viable, verifiable reality has now been thrown overboard? This fourth kingdom will be tramping down and crushing whatever culture there was that was built on the word of God and on truth. He will devour the whole earth, verse 23 of Daniel 7 says. The 10 horns are 10 kings who come from this kingdom. One of them, of course, will now surface. He will speak against the Most High, and we see that happening. He will oppress the holy people. He will change the set times and the laws. And the holy people will be delivered into his hands for a time, times, and half a time, which, of course, is a symbolic conveying of a period where this world system is handed over into secular powers. Then verse 26 says, the court will sit, and his power will be taken away and completely destroyed forever. Then the sovereignty, power, and greatness of all the kingdoms under heaven will be handed over to the holy people of the Most High. His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all rulers will worship and obey him. This is the end of the matter. Of course, it gripped Daniel quite intensively. The fact that there was going to be war, the fact that as he watched, he saw that the horn was waging war against the saints, the idea that he was defeating them. We read in Revelation, the dragon was enraged at the woman. He went off to wage war against the rest of her offspring. Who are these? Those who keep God's commandments and hold fast to the testimony about Jesus. Revelation 12, verse 17. So, the book of Revelation, by way of principle and general trends, the explaining of general trends, will tell us that the secular power inspired by Satan himself will ultimately focus on the church, and its purpose is to try and inflict injury on the church, making war on the saints. But what this tells us is that God is sovereign. God reigns and God rules. The Babylonian Empire, in which they found themselves at that time, which was a world empire, represented all of globalism and secularism as we see it today. Now, of course, biblical truth is like looking out over a landscape and you see many mountains, mountains that are close by, mountains are intermediary, mountains that are a little bit further away, and then mountains that are very far away in the backdrop. So when you interpret a book like the book of Daniel, you must see the mountains right here in front of you. They refer to present relevance of this passage as it was written at its time. Then later on, you see there's also future relevance. You see the mountains that lie further ahead. And then there's follow-on relevance. And ultimately, there is also far future relevance. So these prophecies can then be seen as having multiple applications throughout the course of history. Folks, I hope that it's been a blessing to you and that this has made some sense to you. If not, please inform us, let us know what your questions are, and we can look at it next time. Goodbye and God bless.
And that was Dr. Gregory Donation in part 10 of Facing the Furnace, a relevant study of the book of Daniel as apocalyptic literature. You can download the PowerPoint presentation of this series by going to gncr.org.za, clicking on the podcasts tab, selecting local programs, selecting Thinking It Through, and opening the Daniel series. Join us again next week for part 11 of this Fireside Chat. Have a great weekend and stay tuned to GNCR.
If you have any feedback or queries regarding Thinking It Through, please email it to thinkingitthrough@gncr.org.za. You can find the live stream, GNCR mission statements, and more at gncr.org.za.